A report issued today says Alberta's anti-bullying legislation is the wrong approach to a complex problem. The bill requires students to, quote, refrain from, report, and not tolerate bullying or bullying behavior directed toward others in school, whether or not it occurs within the school building, during the school day, or by electronic means. End of quote. The Institute of Marriage and Family Canada released the report today, raising concerns about that approach. Peter John Mitchell is a senior researcher at the Institute, and he's on the line now. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, Doug.
Now, what are your concerns about Alberta's anti-bullying legislation?
The passage that you read, I think, is actually quite good. I think there is room for bystander involvement. Unfortunately, later on in the bill, in Section 36, it says that students who fail to adhere to that, so fail to report bullying incidents, whether that would be online, after school, off campus, would be susceptible to being disciplined by suspension. And we're concerned that we're coercing students into being bystanders, and in effect communicating to them, probably not intentionally, but communicating to them that the adults are not in the cyber playground, we are not there, and we are asking students to police the internet on behalf of the school.
And what do you think the result of that will be?
I don't think it will be very effective in terms of trying to accomplish what the government is hoping to accomplish. It is possible that that it will send a bit of a chill across sort of the school environment, because students are being asked or coerced into doing the right thing rather than being coached and learning to do the right thing in the ways that we hope that they would. I just think it certainly just goes about probably the right thing that we would want to see kids do, but doing it in the wrong way.
Now, your report also mentions the U.S. has had anti-bullying laws for some time now. What should we learn from the American experience?
Well, one of the problems that has happened in the U.S., and indeed it has been numerous legislation passed. In fact, there's only one state, I think, currently that does not have anti-bullying legislation. One of the challenges of anti-bullying legislation is being able to measure the effectiveness of that. So, for example, here in Canada, in Ontario, between 2007 and 2010, about $150 million was spent on safe school initiatives, but there was no mechanism to actually measure the effect of that. And the Auditor General released a report in 2010 suggesting that that kind of measure needs to be inserted into legislation. I think legislation works best when it creates the kind of context that part of the Alberta Education Act does do in terms of creating a context of guidelines and giving school boards and schools certainly the authority to address the issue, but also be able to establish guidelines and to establish the kind of healthy school environment that will help students thrive and be able to deal with these problems when they arise. It's just this one bit of section, I think, is a little bit misguided.
Your report argues that parenting style and family environment have a huge impact on bullying behavior. What does your research show there?
Yeah, the real intent of our report released today was to examine the family side of it. Its family is not the only component to understanding bullying, but it is certainly one important component. And what we find is that family environment can contribute to the making of bullies. It can prevent the making of bullies, and it can also help victims, particularly mediate some of the consequences that can occur when a student is bullied. So we find that well, there's no typical home from which a bully comes from. There are some correlations between homes where there is a lack of warmth or emotional support, where an individual is perhaps shamed and stigmatized rather than their behavior being addressed. Conversely, homes where there's a lack of supervision or homes where there may be high conflict but poor communication, there are certainly correlations there to kids developing bullying behaviors and tendencies. On the other hand, a healthy home environment can be a protective factor as well. And one of the things that research does show, and when psychologists and sociologists examine parenting style, they find that an environment that is warm, that is caring, that is communicative, that has sufficient supervision and clear expectations and limits is healthy for child development and teen development. And that goes a long way as a protective environment as well for teens. So that's probably the starting point for parents, and that is a lifelong a lifelong pursuit in trying to develop that kind of environment at home.
Yeah, if kids aren't getting that warmth and support at home, though, how do you foster that kind of environment in a school situation when in a lot of cases, especially in high schools, it turns out to be a Lord of the Flies existence where, you know, it's survival of the fittest?
Yeah, and I think where it doesn't happen at home, it will spill over into the school environment and adults in the school environment, coaches, teachers, educators will play an important role. And I was really moved to read about the Erase bullying program in British Columbia. There was a trainer there that had talked with a number of students and said that their students had felt more connected to the physical space of the school than to any adults in the building. And, you know, that's just shocking, and it's sort of sad. But educators and coaches are in a position where they can provide some of that that healthy relationship, some of that attachment, some of that mentoring that really helps to come alongside both victims to protect them, but also come alongside bullies and to help that process of unmaking a bully. And that's a long process, but often it is our educators that end up pursuing that role.
Now, if the likely effect of legislation is limited, as you're arguing, where else can families and educators turn to for support when it comes to the bullying issue?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think certainly there needs to be more connection between parents and educators, and that's in the literature we see it time and time again, that there seems to be a bit of a disconnect there. I often speak with parents and hear them say, you know, well, our son or daughter was bullied. We approached the school. We didn't seem to get any action. We didn't get a satisfactory response. At the same time, I hear from educators saying, you know, we put on these workshops or these seminars about how, you know, appropriate internet use or, you know, how to detect bullying, and we send home the flyers and we never hear anything. And it seems that, in their view, parents don't take action until it becomes a problem. So certainly we'll have to be proactive, and I think there's a lot of room for those two, for parents and teachers and educators to work together and to forge some community responses. And certainly there are a number of resources out there. And I think even through some of this legislation effect, schools are compelled to develop programs. And I think when we can use the programs to come alongside our kids, and to begin to develop those relationships and reestablish those relationships, that's when we'll start to see some great advances in this area.
Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on, Doug.
Peter John Mitchell is a senior researcher at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada based in Ottawa.